the form of the Jesus Prayer that we use for meditation. It's been practiced for 1800 years or so. And particularly in Orthodox Christianity, it's the preeminent prayer mantra of the heart. It has its roots in one of the gospel stories where Jesus was walking and there's a blind man cries out to him, "Rabbi Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And as the story goes, Jesus healed him of his blindness. That's why I say it's a healing, beautiful healing prayer and mantra. So I'm going to talk about the Last Supper, and I'm going to talk about Jesus washing the feet, but I want to underscore the importance of this story and stories in general. Whether we realize it or not, we live our lives according to stories, according to narratives. They may be unconscious or they may be conscious, but we all see life through our stories, through our narratives. And not all narratives are equal. In fact, some narratives are very destructive. A deep narrative reflects the structure of reality. It reflects the structure of heaven. It reflects the structure of God's own heart. So tonight again in the Christian world is the Last Supper. Tomorrow's Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. And I won't get into the details. These stories have their roots in first century Judaism. And it's really the stories of Holy Week is really at one level the preeminent story in Western civilization. At some level, it has guided us. In some ways, the story is weakening, not because the story is weak, but we're forgetting the story and its relevance. So I want to just underscore the importance of this story, particularly the Lord's Supper and the washing of the feet. So these 3 days are Thursday, the events of Good Friday. It's called the Passion of Jesus. And we can relate to this because there's two meanings to the word passion. One meaning from the Greek, pathos, means to suffer. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to suffer needlessly, but we all suffer. And sooner or later, if you're not suffering now, you're going to suffer. It's just a fact of life. We should do everything we can do to minimize suffering, absolutely. But it's going to visit every one of us. And even if it doesn't visit us directly, it'll visit somebody that we love. And how we handle the suffering determines everything in our life. So the story tonight on one level is about suffering. Jesus, the whole events of Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday, he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew the end was coming. He knew it wasn't going to be an easy transition. In fact, at that time, Roman crucifixion was the most painful form of death, in some ways, that the humanity has ever created. He knew that was his destiny. He knew that he would be betrayed, right, by one of his closest disciples. Haven't we all been betrayed at least once in our life? See, it's a story about us too. He knew that most of his friends and the disciples, those who weren't betraying him, were going to abandon him. Haven't we all had moments of abandonment? He knew that he was going to be unjustly accused. And he knew that on Palm Sunday, the people that were saying, you know, alleluia, alleluia, hosanna to the highest, those very same people were going to turn on him on Good Friday. He knew all that. That was his pathos, that was his pain. But I said, there's a second meaning to the word passion, and that meaning is love. The only way that we can handle our suffering in a good, creative way, and the suffering of others, is through the energy of love. That's part of what this whole Holy Week is about. It is that impulse of love that Jesus fully embodied within himself, entering into the depths of human suffering. And Jesus is showing us in this story of great depth, he is showing us how we are to meet suffering. Not with denial, not with blame, not with despair or nihilism, but with love. Something I touched on last week, when Jesus began his whole public ministry that was leading up to Holy Thursday and Good Friday, he went to his guru in a previous life, John the Baptist, and got John's blessing. And at the end of that, this voice came down from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The only way that Jesus was able to bring that love into his darkest hour, because he absolutely believed that he was God's beloved Son. And his whole life was leaning into that love. I've said this time and time again, it is so absolutely true. Love is the most powerful force in all of creation, bar none. So the way that Jesus was able to enter into his passion was because he was leaning into God's love. And the first truth that emerges when we lean into God's love is the truth that God is, God has and is creating the path that is unfolding in front of us. That there are no cosmic coincidences. That God's love, that is more powerful than anything and envelops everything, uses even the darkest things of life. It doesn't create them. It doesn't cause them. It uses the darkest things of life to bring good into our lives. I want you to put this in a context. I want you to relate to Jesus. He's at the prime of his life. He's about 32, 33. He can turn water into wine. He can raise the dead. And he knows at some level he has to give that up for now. It's coming to an end. He can only do that because he was leaning into that love, and he knew that he knew that he knew God was using everything, even when he didn't understand what was happening himself, to bring about a greater good. What's true for Jesus is good, is true for us. God has no stepchildren. God the Father and Mother loves you as much as he loved Jesus. Period. So that's the first thing we draw from this, to lean into God's love. And then whatever is coming our way, particularly those things that we can't avoid, to embrace them in some way as the will of God. That's not being a victim, that's being a champion. Jesus said, okay, I am choosing this. Okay, I'm embracing this. Okay, I'm taking this on because I trust my Father and the Divine Mother. I'm willing to go through this. I'm choosing. I'm not a victim because I'm leaning into that love. So when things come our way, we have to lean into that love. So one way that Jesus leaned into that love was his way of praying and meditating, celebrating the Jewish Passover, one of the holiest days in Judaism. You see, by celebrating it, he was leaning into that love. But he doesn't celebrate it by himself, of course. He celebrated it with his intimate friends. And at the whole beginning of the Last Supper, he says these beautiful words. I have longed to share this meal with you. I have longed to share this meal with you. Even in his darkest hour, when the pathos pain was great, the love was greater, because he didn't forget his mission. He didn't forget his purpose. What was his purpose? To love, to bring love into the world, and to bring it into the lives of his closest friends, his closest disciples, men and women, so they in turn could give it to the world. So he longed out of his love for them. He never stopped loving. He never stopped serving the mission of love. He never stopped serving God in his darkest hour, because he was leaning into that love. How I've longed to share this meal with you. And then he takes it a step deeper. He says, I no longer call you my disciples. You are my friends. A teacher doesn't tell, I'm paraphrasing now, but he said the teacher doesn't tell his disciples everything, but we tell our friends everything. I'm giving everything I got to you. And there's this whole beautiful discourse around the Last Supper. We are God's friend. We are Jesus' friend. We are Yogananda's friend. I sent Swami Nirvanananda, one of my dearest friends, next to my wife, my dearest friend. I sent him an email. He's our Italian Swami, if you don't know who he is. I sent him an email today and just said what we were doing. He knew what we were doing. And it was so sweet. He just wrote back, stay connected with me. Stay connected. That's what it means to be a friend, to stay connected with the Divine, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, the saints and angels that guide us. They are our friends, and they want us to stay connected from our hearts. And within that whole story, there's this beautiful scene. The female disciples did not abandon Jesus. And it says something about the strength of women. The one male disciple who did not abandon Jesus was John. And you know how John, he had this audacity. You know how he referred to himself? As Jesus' beloved disciple. He wasn't just a disciple. He said, I was Jesus' beloved disciple. And it was out of that belovedness, the audacity to believe it, that he had the strength, like the women had, to be with him through it all and not abandon him. But there's a beautiful scene in the Last Supper that I've never heard anyone talk about. I've never talked about it. Where in the middle of all this, it says he leaned his head on the breast of Jesus. He leaned into his beloved. He leaned into it. That's what we're meant to be. We need to have that audacity that we are, each one of us, God's beloved. God's friend and God's beloved. And that all that God wants us to do is to lean into that divine heart, that sacred heart, that heart of love, and to not stop leaning. However you do it, that's what our mission is. To lean and to lean and to lean. It's interesting, in that context, Jesus had announced that one of his disciples was going to betray him. And so the apostles thought, well, is it I? Is it, who is it? But they didn't ask Jesus directly. They said to John, who was leaning into the breast of Jesus, into the heart of Jesus, you ask him who it is. Because, and this is a very important point, because John was leaning into the heart of Jesus, he knew Jesus' heart. He knew what Jesus knew. The more we lean into the heart of God, the more we know what God knows. And we can give that knowledge and that wisdom to others. And the last scene that we're going to talk about tonight is then the washing of the feet. And I want to put this in a context. You need to understand that there's a structure to reality. And this story captures that structure. And life goes much better when we live in alignment with this structure. This is the structure, and it's part of the Judeo-Christian philosophy as well as the Kriya Yoga philosophy. Humankind, we're meant to serve each other and everything on planet Earth. We're not meant to lord over it. We're meant to be its servant. The angels and the saints, their job is to serve us. And God serves it all. Loving service is the very structure of reality. A life well spent is a life in loving service to something bigger than us. That aligns us with the very structure of God, the reality of God, how God does things, and that brings heaven down into planet Earth. So Jesus, virtually stripped naked, he just had a little thing around his waist, got on his knees, and he washed the feet of his disciples. And when he was done, he said, if I, your rabbi, your teacher, have done this for you, how much more should you do it for each other? He was giving us a picture of the structure of reality, how God operates, and how we are meant to operate. And it's part of the Kriya tradition. Yogananda said, life is mostly about service. I won't read it, but I'll paraphrase it. There's a story from the autobiography when Lahiri Mahasaya, he's at a religious festival, the Kumbh Mela in India. And he's walking around and he's kind of judging people. He was saying, they have all the outward signs of religion, but they're not getting it. And all of a sudden, he spots Babaji washing the feet of this matted hair renunciate, dirty. And he goes over to him and he says, Master, what are you doing? And I'm paraphrasing, but it's almost word for word. I am pleasing God. And then Lahiri said, he was teaching me to judge no one and to see the presence of God in everyone, whether they're manifesting it or not, and then to serve. So I'll close with a quote from Francis and then a quote from Claire of Assisi. Most of you know the story of Francis. His life fell apart. He wandered into a broken-down chapel outside of Assisi, Chapel of San Damiano. And he spent days and days there leaning into the heart of Christ. And he kept on saying, "What do you want of me?" He persisted with it, leaning into. And then he got the response, "Francis, can't you see my church is crumbling?" Now the physical church was crumbling, but he meant the church. He said, "Go and repair it." And paradoxically, that wasn't a burden to Francis. He said all the depression that he had been experiencing, all the darkness, washed away with those words. Claire of Assisi said, "We become what we love." So my encouragement to you tonight is love this story. You don't have to be a Christian to love it. It's a universal story. It's there in every legitimate religion if you look hard enough for it. Love this story. And to the degree that you love it, the darkness in you will be washed away. And you'll find yourself being godlike. That's our destiny. The divine in me bows before the divine in each one of you.